You're listening to SpartanUpPodcast.com, where we study success and everything required to create it. We interview people from all over the world that are successful, no matter how they defined it.
Ready?
Yeah, for sure.
Me, you, who?
I'll fire away, sure.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, here we are in the barn, Pittsfield, Vermont. We got our crew here for SpartanUpPodcast.com. We got Joe DeSena, founder of Spartan Race. We have Colonel Nye, Tim Nye.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. We have Sephra, who we've decided we're going to call our rewilding expert. Sephra brings people out to the woods in Vermont, teaches them how to get back to nature.
Passionately.
And very passionately, exactly, yeah. And I'm Johnny Waite. They call me Dr. Johnny because I have a background in psychology and I help people sort through some of their problems and issues and goals. And I'll tell you, I'm really excited about this one. I have a background in wrestling as well. I know, Tim, you have some experience with wrestling.
I like it.
Yeah, and so I'm really excited. Seems like a great guy. Joe, you spent some time with him. Tell me about this.
Nate's unbelievable. Just recently saw him again. He's become a friend. He's just got such a presence, not just physically. I mean, you touch him, it's like touching twisted steel, literally. He makes us look like marshmallows. He is he's unbelievable. Yeah. His family comes from 16 brothers and sisters. Five of them were top-notch wrestlers. Nate obviously went to the Olympics. I guess he had a bad call in Korea.
Yep.
But he's humble about it. He doesn't get upset about it. It is what it is. He's training his children now. One of them's attempting to go into the Olympics.
Right.
The other one's looking to be at his weight class number one in the nation this year. So they're pretty disciplined. I spoke to his wife 5 days ago. She said, I'm having a tough time running 3 miles. I said, you know what you should do? She said, what? I said, you should run 13. She said, what do you mean? I said, have your husband drop you off 13 miles from home, no money, and then you'll have no trouble with 3 miles after that.
Yeah, yeah.
Nate calls me up and says, what the hell did you do to my wife? She's out running 13 miles today. She got it done.
Wow, that's awesome.
So amazing.
She's
family.
A nice woman.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
They're wrestling royalty.
Wrestling royalty. That's a good one.
Yeah. They really are. They really are. The entire family. But just to think, to come from a family that large, you know, yeah. I mean, just the natural competition, we talked about this before, that's built in, and then you get multiple brothers that are at national or international level, and what that means, the internal engine in that family that drives it and the competitiveness. I mean, it's just got to be a great environment.
I assumed he grew up next to, like, the Olympic Training Center or something, right, the 16 brothers and sisters. And he said to me, no, there was a bar down the street, and we had nowhere to hang out, so we went in the back of the bar, and the guy that owned the bar was a wrestler. And so we would go punch heavy bags and wrestle, and that's how they got into it.
Well, let's go hear from Nate. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
All right, we are here with Nate Carr, Olympian, super wrestler, flew into Vermont. We're in Pittsfield. We're at Spartan HQ, and he's going to tell us a little bit about what it takes to be Spartan and what it takes to be great. So you were giving me, let's go right into this. You were giving me some life advice earlier on
right.
Shamu the whale,
right.
How they got the whale to jump out of the water. And I got to tell you, it was powerful advice. I'm on the planet 45 years, and some things punch you in the nose. That punched me in the nose. So let's talk about that. So how'd they get the whale out of the water?
Well, basically, Joe, a businesswoman saw some trainers at SeaWorld training Shamu, and she began to talk to them about training the whale. And one of the things they did to get Shamu out of the water was when he did something they wanted him to do, they would give him a lot of fish, they would pet him, blow a horn, whatever, and to let him know that they were really pleased. And here's the interesting thing is that when he did something that they didn't like, they basically ignored that behavior. And then when he came back to something that they wanted him to do, then came the fish, the horn, and the petting. And basically the encouragement is what got Shamu out of the water. And what that woman did, the businesswoman, is basically writing in a book, I believe the title was Well Done. And then from there, basically, she implemented it into business and had the bosses, instead of look for something negative, look for something positive and go crazy over it. And the bosses seen their business just take off and grow because the people were encouraged. And of course, when they're encouraged, they're even motivated themselves to do things even while you're not there.
Right, they're motivated. So many of the viewers don't know, you come from a family of five wrestlers.
Yes.
Olympic level wrestlers.
Yes.
Unheard of, right? Very few families.
Five Division I All-Americans, which is an NCAA record.
Right.
And I believe we have the most All-Americans in one family. and then two Olympians. And my brother, for sure, bar none, was a super stud, definitely a prodigy from the ordinary to the extraordinary. And that
was 72? That was
72 Olympics, 72. And 16 going on 17.
In the Olympics?
Yes, unbelievable.
And then you entered 88?
And I went to the 88 Olympics. The only difference between us is that I actually medaled. I actually had a very controversial call in the semifinals and ended up taking third.
What was the controversy?
Well, basically, after reviewing it, the Korean probably should have been thrown out, but the referees were very biased, and you could see that in the tape when they watched it. So they basically threw out the officials, but let the Korean keep the win, and I took third. There you go.
But you live with it.
I live with it. I always say it's very important, Joe, not to just go through something as much as you grow through it.
There you go.
And so I really matured through it, just made me a better person, and really it's about being a champion in life.
So you must have had, like, super parents.
Yeah, well, you can call them that.
Right.
You
know, 15 brothers and sisters, right?
Right, 15 brothers and sisters. And check this out. My dad just passed away a couple weeks ago, 86 years old. But what a legacy he has left. But I've never seen my dad raise his voice at my mom.
Wow.
You gotta be, I mean, is that crazy? Never once. I've never even seen him argue. Now, here's the truth. Just because I didn't see it didn't mean it didn't happen. Yeah, maybe it's just a locker room thing, back in the bedroom or whatever.
Sure.
But just great people. They always encourage us. I remember a special time in my life is they took me out. I was going on to college, and I graduated from high school. They took me out to a restaurant, set me down, and it was special because why? I never get to be alone with them, you know?
Sure.
And so here we are at a restaurant, and they said something like simply, basically, Nate, we love you. We might not always be there for you, but we know one who will. That's God. And we want you to do your best. I won 3 national titles.
Wow.
At college. I was the second guy to do it in the history of the school. The other guy won 3 titles when I was being born. And so, but they just called me and they encouraged me. My mom, I would talk to her, hey, I just lost. And she'd say something like, are you reading your Bible? I was like, no, not really. And then she'd go on, we'd talk. And before she got off the phone, she would say something like this, Joe, you'll get them next time. And I would.
Encouragement. Yeah. Just like the whale.
Yeah.
You're built like a whale.
Yeah. It's the shirt.
So, what encouragement, what lessons can you give? Like I said, we got 4 million fans on Facebook. Yeah. They all either are Spartans, want to be Spartans, right? There are little tidbits somebody like you learns in life. One you just said is encouragement. What other things? Like, how should they train? How should they live?
Well, I think you train hard, and I'm real big on the mental part, just out of wrestling now, and just realizing how important that is. And so here's some of the things I think that are really key and germane for someone having success, period. And that is never, ever personalize your failure. Because if you personalize your failure, you're putting yourself down. Man, I don't know if I'm going to make it. And you just go into a pit.
Spiral out of control.
But the key is to never personalize your failure. Look at it objectively and just basically say, you know, I need to keep my elbow in. I need to lower my stance. You know what? I need to do more endurance lifting so my muscles don't get tired. But make the adjustments and take what you learn from that and use it as a catalyst to catapult you to the top. That is the key. Never personalize your failure and take risks. Because when you take risks, you're learning. You know, again, you don't go through, you grow through. And so just the maturing through the setbacks, always making those adjustments, I'm telling you, that is the key. Not personalizing it, you can move on, you know.
We like to say, if you're not uncomfortable, you're not growing.
There you go.
Right?
Stretch yourself. Stretch yourself. And it's key. And another way of saying stretch yourself is basically making those adjustments, taking the risk, and going for it. And I think the next thing to do is, a lot of people train physically hard, Joe. But where they forget to train is from the neck up. And so you have to train dealing with negative thoughts that will come your way. I always say you don't invite negative thoughts, they just come. So you got to have a way to deal with the thoughts so you can continue giving 100%. Psychosomatic, mind and body coming together.
So, so um, couple of guys that met you when you got off the plane, a couple of guys that are hanging around here that do the death race and Spartan races, they said you have a very unique visualization technique to throw away the negative thoughts. Let's go through that.
Okay, well, one of my nemesis was just a famous wrestler, one of the best ever in our country, Kenny Monday. And we wrestled in the Big Eight finals twice, and both times he beat me, but I came back to beat him at the national championships. And so at one national championships, I remember the crowd is like 15, 16,000. From the locker room to the platform, this thought came to me, Kenny Monday pinned you last time. I'm thinking, what? Where'd that come from? So, but fortunately, I had a way of training my mind to be ready for that. And so in my mind, Joe, I would go to this room in my mind, open it up. And as soon as I open it up, you could see a large brick fireplace blazing hot. And then inside the room also was a table and a chair with a notebook and a pen. I'd go sit in the chair, Joe, flip the notebook open, write down this statement, Kenny Monday pinned you last time. Crumble it up, throw it into the fire, watch it disintegrate, watch it turn to ash, roll out a new sheet and say, Nate, go hard, you win. And that was my last thought going to the mat. So there was a replacement of thoughts going on, and you have to be able to refocus, to adjust, and to stay focused on something that's going to help you move towards your goal.
And it's simple. Right? Yeah. It's simple. And so how'd you get that parents, where'd you get that?
Yeah, just reading and just going through different struggles of, you know, you always run into someone who said, you know what, I don't believe you can do it. And I just put a speech together, and I always usually have a suit coat on, right? And I would say, look at them and look toward your heart and say, I hear what you're saying. You don't think I can do it. Then pause and look down and say, but that's not what I dreamed. You know, don't let them be the last word, but that's not what I dream, and I'm moving toward that dream, making it a reality. Even having acrostics for no. No just means next opportunity, Joe.
I love that.
Or
love
nearing
that.
Objective. And yes,
next opportunity is a good one.
You, yes, is you expecting success, because you got to have a yes to where you're going, Joe, and a no to anybody going in the opposite direction.
I like that. That's great stuff. You want to take a break?
I hope you're not sitting still while you listen. If you are, you better get a burpee break in.
My producer says we need a lot of reviews on iTunes so that Apple will make it easy for you to find our show. Can you help us out by subscribing and writing a review? We'd really appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
So let's touch this thought some more on positive reinforcement, basically, with people. And before you get into the story with hurting people, I'd like to give all the people listening a tip-off, a script, on what they could say to their boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife.
Wow, you pretty be on the spot, Joe.
Well, you had some good ideas.
Wow, jeez. Okay.
Just make something up.
Okay, well, okay, this one's easy, but basically, I try to practice being a professional encourager. And so even with my wife, who's one of the closest people to me, who I love dearly, you know, I just believe, again, that God wants us to honor our wives. And so I would say something to my wife like this. Say, hon, I love you. I thank God for you. Thank you for being the mother of my 7 children. And you are so awesome. And I thank God for the gift that he's given me in you.
It's that easy.
That easy. You just like, look
at what? Because the camera person's a female. She backed up. So why is it so, if it's that easy, is it so hard for everybody to do that?
No, really, I think it's really, it's easy to be drawn to the negative or the negative things that happen to people. People just seem to want to gravitate toward that more. And so, you know, just in trying to encourage people, you know, that's kind of one of my life goals, is to be an encourager, is that I know this, Joe, that hurting people hurt people.
Right.
Hurting people hurt people. There's a story about an animal lover who was late for church, and he was driving to work, and he happened to hit a swirl. And so when he hit the swirl, he stopped, slammed on the brakes, got out of the car, and he went to help the swirl, and the swirl bit him, and then he stomped the swirl to death. You know, those that you love, you don't want to stomp to death. How about that? A little bit of flip side, but he was hurting, and so he hurt the swirl. But hurting people hurt people. And so when I know that you're hurting, I don't respond. I don't respond in a negative way because I know you're hurting.
Yeah.
It's almost like sometimes people can be love challenged. And so they might say the wrong thing, but if I know that you love, you're love challenged, then I don't go off the handle.
Right.
I just take it, stay relaxed, knowing a soft answer turneth away wrath. I just say, well, it's okay.
But let's face reality here. I mean, you're a lot bigger than most people. So people just treat you like you were just poking me before you knocked me over. So, because I mean, everybody's got, right? Even somebody like yourself, everybody's got that ability to snap and go
That's
and
right.
fly off the handle. I'm sure you must have. Right?
I'm telling you the truth, Joe. People have gotten in my face. And I'm thinking, yeah, a guy could slam you like 10 times. But I'm not going to do that.
Right.
But when they were yelling at me, I just said, well let's just settle down.
Right.
Well, I didn't mean it. What happened? And pretty soon, they're just, shh.
Calm down.
It's work. And now, look, that's more impressive to do something like that than it is seeing a guy bench press 600.
Sure. Yeah. I'm going to work on it. I'm learning a lot these days. I'm going to work on it. Let's talk about working out.
Okay.
All right. So what do these guys do, girls do, to get in shape based on a family as successful and impressive as yours? Like, what would you guys do?
Well, we just rustled and tore up the furniture. But I knew just because my brothers trained and my dad couldn't afford weights.
Right.
And so I actually went to a junkyard and dragged in a car axle. And took it down the basement and lifted that. I would get under the beds. I would do bench presses. I would put heavy stuff in suitcases and do curls. Just all on my own.
Nice.
Because I knew that I needed strength to be a good wrestler. And basically, as we got, you know, as we went to high school, then we had like a strength coach. And so I learned more there. But really, just having an idea of where you want to go. Like, just I call this like a biblical principle. But speaking the end of a thing at the beginning. So I would say like, hey, I want to be a state champion. And then I would back up off of saying that statement and develop a strategy that would take me there. And of course, that was running, that was lifting, that was outworking, outrunning everybody on the team so that I could achieve my goal. And for me, even in college, just endurance training. Like we would do like, you know, high lightweight, high reps, just so when I got in the match in the third period, when both guys are fatigued, I could still hold on to the leg. And you know what? I trained that way. My muscles didn't get tired. And I was able to actually pull out some great victories, you know, from the heart.
And so at the end of the day, if we interviewed, not that there's 20 people like you on the planet, but if we interviewed 20 people like you across all disciplines, not just wrestling, it could be ballet, right?
That's right.
Do you think the answer we'd get is, look, at the end of the day, it's hard work?
Yeah, I would say it's hard work. And then even knowing what I know now, Joe, is knowing again mentally what the goal is. Because I always say this is at the top because it controls everything underneath. And so I need to know where I'm going mentally.
To get there.
Yeah, and then all of this comes along, the drive, the desire. So when I arrived at Iowa State campuses, this is a crazy story, but I actually told my coach I wanted to win nationals before I arrived on this campus. Here's my mind. But I know where I'm going. And I'm telling you, just saying that, I don't know where it came from. I wanted to win the national championship, wanted to get my degree. Those were my goals. And pretty much I had a yes to those goals and a no to anybody trying to pull me in the opposite direction. I had a no for somebody who said, hey, do you want to go out and get drunk? And do you want to smoke pot? Well, my yes produced a no. But if you don't have a yes, how in the world can you have a no?
I love that.
So the yes produced the no that kept me focused. And man, I just won a national championship as a sophomore. You know what I did? Forgot I won. And then the next year, I was like, oh, if I could just win one title, it'd be crazy if I could just win one. Right. And that's how I acted. And nice. I won another one. And then did it all over again.
Went to the Olympics.
Yeah. And then went to the Olympics. And yes.
There's a great story. I'm going to screw up the story. But it's the Olympic team out of the UK that's training in rowing. Mm. And they said a very similar thing. They said, we're going to spend the next 3 or 4 years training. And every question we ask ourselves is, will it make the boat go faster?
Mm.
Hey, you want to go smoke some pot? Will it make the boat
go
faster?
See what I'm saying? They have a yes, right? And it produces
a no. And, and they won.
How about that?
And that, right? So
now,
so
is that focus or
that's
what?
That's it. Will it make the both of them? Going to a movie's not going to do it. Eating popcorn's not going to do
that's
it, right?
Look at that thought, though. Right. Is that thought that drove them? And so whatever your destination is, whatever your desire, it's really key to move in that direction. But I'm telling you, along the way, you'll have to say no to some people that's trying to say no to your dream. No, and they don't believe you can do it. Take that no and say, you know what? Next opportunity.
All right, we ask everybody, what's your favorite exercise? What's your favorite exercise?
You know, push-ups probably.
Push-ups.
Do a lot of push-ups.
Would have never guessed it.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of push-ups. I just love it, doing it early in the morning. You know, when I get out of bed, I mean, I'm going to pray, I'm going to meditate, all of that together. But push-ups is something I just like breathing hard. And that, man, that just gets you tired. Then I'm going to throw in some squats with some dumbbells, you know.
Nice.
And I'm probably ride for an hour and a half, maybe.
Ride?
Yeah, I'd hurt my knees, so I don't run.
Oh, your bike?
Yeah, so I'd bike or stair climb just like an hour and a half. And while I'm doing it, I'm always reading.
Reading?
Always reading.
Most of the Bible or anything?
No, just many different books, Bible, other books, a lot of motivating stuff, a lot of stuff with encouragement. I always look for stories that I can use to encourage someone else.
Oh. Well, I love the message. I love the stories. Good stuff.
You're doing a great job too, Joe.
Well, I got a lot.
I'm a true Spartan.
You are. I got a lot to work on. Thanks for coming.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Is that guy awesome or what?
Yeah.
I was right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, growing up like that, like you said, 16 brothers and sisters, just raises the game every day just to get food.
Right. And this goes back to your notion, contention, you know, your philosophy that adversity breeds success.
You're agreeing with me on this one?
Listen, I think adversity breeds success if you, as you always say, if you frame it right, if you take the positive aspects of it. There are many people that get crushed by adversity, far more get crushed by it than come out of it. So if you take that energy and you reframe it, then certainly it can be a motivating factor for you. It can drive you. But it certainly does.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there were brothers in 16 child families that have not
gone to the Olympics.
Not gone to the Olympics, right? And not turned it into a positive. Probably many more.
But positivity is the hallmark of this
exactly
interview, correct?
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. You know, Nate, he talks about adversity and framing everything as a positive. And I think you can get through almost anything if you've got that encouragement and that core belief in yourself that clearly he has and that he's putting into his kids and everyone else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love when he talks about encouragement is everything. And he talked about training the whale. And in our society, we're so busy and we're so quick to try and correct the faults in people that the what's really positive goes completely unremarked. And so if you're constantly having your faults pointed out and corrected, it's actually bringing you down, down, down. So like you say, adversity breeds success if you focus on the right things.
Yeah, and I like when he said, when he ever hears the word no, he just thinks next opportunity. You know, I think that's a great way to reframe. And it's great to see your boys wrestling out back, you know.
He was awesome to be around. Yeah. What do you think, Dr. John, explain the whole crumbling up of the paper and throwing it in the fire, how people can learn, how we all can learn from that.
Sure, well, absolutely. You know, when something negative happens, we get stuck on it, and we have this thought in our head, and, you know, we try not to think about it. The more you try not to think about something, the more you're going to think about it. So that whole idea of the visualization, what he's doing is he's taking that idea, and he's in his head writing it down, so now he can see it, crumpling it up, so there's a really clear image, and throwing it in the fire. So when you throw that in the fire and you see it burn, there's this association we have with that's now gone. And it's like little rituals. So, you know, you can go for years and years and years of therapy, which is really just learning rituals to let go of things, or you can teach yourself tricks like that. And so, you know, just saying I'm going to stop thinking about this might not work. But actually going through that ritual, putting it in the fire and having that experience of seeing it burn and go, even though it's all in your head, everything's all in our head. And it's a great way to let go of things. Absolutely.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. What do you do it with a cornstalk?
I know a ton of rituals.
Is there incense involved in all that, or
you know?
No, but a lot of I've seen where football teams will do that or something. They'll go out and they'll bury some object, you know,
the
game
sure.
they lost or the last season's results or whatever. So you got to get rid of it. Okay, we're moving past that. That you're right. Get rid of that negative. Yeah. Let's move forward.
That's really cool concept. With coaches, you know, there's technical coaches who are really good at learning the game and teaching kids that. The coaches who can draw the most out of people are the ones who get that, who understand that psychology. And some of the things, you know, seem a little bit airy-fairy to, you know, the other meat and potatoes coaches. But you can be the toughest coach in the world. You can be the most traditional as far as strategy and whatnot goes. But then bring some of these ideas in that really help tap into what's already in those kids. And, you know, I was never the most technically skilled wrestling coach. There were other coaches in our club who were far better than I was at the skills. But I had a knack for being able to draw the best out of those kids. And so you take all that other training. So something like that, you know, a kid has that terrible match. They just cannot stop thinking about that match. If you can teach them how to do things like that, how to focus on the positive, it's going to go a long, long way.
That's the obstacle immunity, right? Just being able to take that and be able to conquer it and get past it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I guess that's what we're doing at Spartan Race, right, in a way, when we put people through obstacles, right? We're teaching them to not dwell on the negative, because if they did in the barbed wire, they'd be stuck for quite some time.
But I think back to an interview that you did. It was on one of the TV shows, and there's a lady in the background going over a wall, and you commented and said she will eventually get over that wall, and she does. She'll have a new place to stand in her life, right? Mm.
Yep.
And so it's not that she's going to have this failure to look back on. As many times as it takes her to get over that wall, she's going to get over, and now it's going to be a success she has to look back on.
Yeah.
And the more we can put people in the path of failure, success, as long as they're learning from the failures, next opportunity, right?
Right.
But so many people are so afraid of failing that they won't even give themselves an opportunity to succeed. And so they have no frame of reference.
Right.
Exactly, yeah.
Right.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Right, or same thing, freedom to fail.
Sure.
I mean, as a leader, you've got to let your people sometimes fail.
Yeah.
You know, you got to let them keep going, find out for themselves, you know, their own mistakes, essentially.
Yeah.
And then kind of rope them back in and get them back to where they're going.
And you don't get to the Olympics without losing a lot of matches somewhere along the way.
Somewhere
even
along
if it's
the
your
line,
older brother.
You know, yeah, or, you know, a couple close ones for sure.
Yeah.
Like
so, no, that
was
phenomenal.
A great sense. You don't get to the Olympics without losing a lot of matches along the way. That's
yeah,
good
for
one.
Sure.
Let's end
yeah.
with that.
Cool.
Anybody looking to learn more, SpartanUpPodcast.com. Check out Colonel Nye's Corner on the site. Learn about Sephra and how to grow wild organic seeds.
Tan hides.
And then Dr. Johnny Wade will help you out if you've got a murmur in your heart or something going on in your head.
Tips and tricks.
Tips and tricks. Thank you.
A murmur in your heart.